Welcome to Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Today on The Higher Point, we dive into the unparalleled, polarizing journey of Donald J. Trump, from his shocking ascent to presidency in 2016 to his polarizing policies and controversies, and his bold return in 2024 as the president-elect. We're taking a deep look at the factors shaping his comeback. This segment brings a diverse mix of voices. Jagazis from Curly Gay Politics. You can find him on TikTok, on YouTube. I mean, Jagazis is everywhere. And then, of course, myself, Mr. Villain, and my co-host, GG Luigi. We're going to go through together, and we're going to dissect the policies, the promises, and implications of Trump's ambitious return. This is The Higher Point on Donald J. Trump, the rise, fall, and 2024 revival of his president re-election on Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast.
And a different life. Building the wall, breaking the mold, talking the talk, old and cold. Say what you want, he don't look back. Riding the wave, he's back on track. Oh, he's back again, stronger than before. Raising the stakes, taking the floor. Whether you love him or hate his play, he's the name they'll remember in the fray. America, he's calling your name. On the line, a new team of fire ahead of his time. From coast to coast, they stand and shout, the Trump revival, no backing out. He's got Musk in the ring, RFK on the line, a new team of fire ahead of his time. From coast to coast, they stand and shout, the Trump revival, no backing out. He's got Musk in the ring, RFK on the line, a new team of fire ahead of his time. A new team of five will know. He's got Musk in the ring, RFK on the line, a new team of fire ahead of his time. A new team of fire, no backing out, and no backing out, and no backing out. He's got Musk in the ring, RFK on the line, a new team of fire ahead of his time. A new team of fire, no backing out, and no backing out, and no backing out. He's got Musk in the ring, RFK on the line, a new team of fire ahead of his time. A new team of fire, no backing out, and no backing out, and no backing out. He's got Musk in the ring, RFK on the line, a new team of fire. Building the wall, breaking the mold, talking the talk, bold and cold. Say what you want, he don't look back. Riding the wave, he's back on track. Oh, he's back again, stronger than before. Raising the stakes, taking the floor. Whether you love him or hate his play, he's the name they'll remember in the fray. He's the name they'll remember in the fray. Tax cuts, border stories unfold. Some say fire, others say lies. But he's on the rise with new allies. Bringing his voice to the people's choice. Rising above with a thunderous noise. America watching left and right. Trump and the gang back in the fight. Whether it's a high or a fall, this revival's a call. In the land of the brave, there's a silence here. With every cheer, it's loud and clear.
Welcome back to Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Of course, I'm your host, Mr. Villain. And today we have a special guest. We have Jagazis from Gay Curly Politics here with us again. And of course, my co-host, Mr. Gigi Luigi. Guys, are you there?
I'm here. Correction, awesome. It's Curly Gay Politics.
Curly Gay. You heard it from the source. Never trust the horses. Unless they're the main horse. All right, guys. So today, you know, we had such an interesting conversation yesterday when we talked about, you know, kind of why Kamala Harris lost and why the Democrats kind of evaporated their base and the tent shrank for the Democrats. So I wanted to kind of keep that kind of vibe going. And I want to cut straight to the hot mic on this situation. And instead of talking about why Kamala Harris lost, we want to talk about who Donald Trump was in 2016 and who he is now. And if there's anything in between that's differentiating him as president-elect from 2016, all the way up here to 2024 as the new president-elect for the Republican Party. And I will tell you that I don't believe it's the Republican Party anymore. We'll just call them MAGA from now on, because I think the Republican Party is dead. I think conservatism is dead, because I haven't heard a wonk person talk about the deficit, and I don't even know how long. They just keep spending money. Donald Trump spent $8 trillion in 2016 with the promise of tax cuts, his only legislative achievement, so let's just call it what it is. So Trump's meteoric rise in 2016 was nothing short of historic, rallying Americans with his promise to make America great again. And by the way, that's not his tagline. Two other groups had that tagline before Donald Trump, the first being the Ku Klux Klan and the second being Ronald Reagan. So if you call a spade, it's a spade. So he challenged the political establishment, offering a voice to everyday Americans who felt unheard. Now, with 2024 on the horizon, he's reinvigorating his message, adding high-profile names like Elon Musk and RFK Jr. into his orbit. Let's explore how his new alliances and policies could reshape the landscape and what each guest believes this could mean for the nation's future. Jagez, you want to take it away and let us know what this thought process is? What are you seeing in it?
Oh, boy. So, I mean, when we look and we like compare and contrast the 2016 Donald Trump to the 2024 Donald Trump,
yeah,
I like to say nothing has changed, but that would be fallacious of me. I think that when we look at 2016 Donald Trump, he was running on this populist message. He was trying to speak for the people, be the everyman's this or the everyman's that, be the businessman that swoops in and saves everybody.
Yeah,
he was trying to bridge that gap, like you said, between what used to be the Republican Party and what became MAGA. So he was slowly introducing some of these more radical ideas, but he was still trying to play nice. And I think we see in the way that he ran this election, the playing nice thing is totally out. I mean,
yeah,
but again, in 2016, I don't even want to call him nice. It sounds wrong. It sounds fallacious to say this.
It
but
really does.
Now the masks are off, and I think that we're at this point where now we're going to see an unhinged Trump. We're going to see him do everything he wished he wanted to, and we see that in, I know people hate it, but Project 2025.
Yeah,
Trump doesn't align with Project 2025. I don't care.
Yeah.
You look at Agenda 47, and you watch every video on his website on DonaldTrump.com. I've watched every Agenda 47 video he put out, and 8 out of 10 talking points are directly out of Project 2025. So even by own agenda, let's listen to those. So that's when he's going to come in and wipe out the entire government with Schedule F. He's going to come in and take out the entire education department. He's going to take away Social Security and all, like you said, to fund more tax cuts for the billionaires and for Elon Musk and for his little boys club. So I think we're going to see him just burn. We're going to see gasoline be put on everything that's been built up since FDR, and we're going to watch it slowly burn.
Yes, and you know what? And some people have said it needs to burn. Now, Gigi, same question to you. With everything you know about Donald Trump, what do you think that he holds in store for the 2024 presidential? I mean, he's already won it. He's already going to be in the White House. Nothing we can do about it. What would you say?
We'll have to see. I know he wants to instill the tariffs. I don't know what he's going to do about the Mexican border. It's going to be a lot. It's like, how is he going to handle the Ukraine situation? Palestine, the whole Israel situation going on over there. It'll be interesting to see. We're on the verge of World War III, and
I don't know
if anything or any specific one person could at this point steer us away, but you know, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah,
it's history is written every day.
I think that's an interesting point there too, because I want to say that's a big part of what he rallied for. Part of his stump speeches were always, there were no wars. When I was president, there's no wars.
Which he lies. He was in a war.
That idea from, we were still in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan, which he sold us out to the terrorist group known as the Taliban, and then left Joe Biden holding the purse on that.
But like, if he's going to stand up there and say there's no wars, he's walking into a situation in which there's wars happening right now, obviously. Yes. So is he going to encourage those, or is he going to back away from them? I mean, his way of backing away from them are literally handing Ukraine to Russia.
It's exactly and what telling I'm
Israel
saying.
To nuke Gaza. Like, that's going to be his solution, is take Here's over it. All the territory.
And what I would tell you guys, from one narcissist to the other narcissist, clinically a narcissist, technically a narcissist myself, to Donald Trump, as we all know, is a narcissist, and he exploits it. I try to tame mine. But if I were him, what I would do is I would cut a deal with Russia, give them the land they want out of Ukraine, and then put the kibosh on that war for Netanyahu, who loves for freaking Donald Trump because he knows Donald Trump will give him whatever he wants. I would tell Netanyahu to provoke a war with Iran, which would start a World War III, but with Arabic countries. And then to keep myself in power, I would prolong that war the same way Netanyahu is prolonging this war with Gaza and Lebanon and getting Iran included in it. And then what I would do is call martial law about 6 months before my term is ended. And I would stay president. And then I would take the presidency and turn it into an oligarchy, which he's already doing, and an authoritarian ship. I would never leave the post. Why would I? Because you're going to need me to win this war. So why would you want to elect someone else? We're in the war. I know the war. I started it. I created it. Yeah. So
that'd be a hybrid of basically how Putin came into power and a mix of FDR.
Absolutely.
Using the wartime to extend into a third term. We have precedent for it. But then also Putin, in the way that he turned it into an oligarchy, and they were supposed to have term limits in Russia too. Putin got in and he's just never left. Here we are 34, almost 40 years later since he took office, and he's never left. So it could very easily swing that way, and we know how much he respects Putin's game plan or his diplomacy, if you want to call it that. Yeah, he's a fan and he takes notes, so I can see it going that direction.
And what else would I do? I'd find a putz like JD Vance to make or install him as a president. If I had a problem, I'll install him as president, be his vice president for another 8 years, as long as I have left, because I'm 78, and then call the shots from the background like Cheney did with Bush. Why wouldn't I do that if I was a crazy, you know, right wing authoritarian and I wanted to stay in all these many years? I think that's exactly the playbook. The great thing is, guys, and Gigi, I don't know how you feel about that. What do you think? Because Gigi's not like me, but you have to put yourself in a crazy kind of situation where you are this authoritarian dictator and you want to stay in power forever. How would you do it?
How would I do it?
Yeah.
I would
pit, with what we have now.
I mean, I would pit the people against each other. I would use a lot of fear mongering to divide the people so they're fighting amongst themselves. I would then use mass propaganda to keep, you know, everything straight. Because like, the thing is, the more divided people are, the easier they are to control. And then from there,
you feed the dogs and the pets.
You slowly just dissolve the rights for, you know. A lot of times you see governments throughout history dissolving rights through like acts of like, oh, we're going to take away this freedom for this safety. And like, And then it just kind of like, it's like one step at a time. Next thing you know, Hitler's like running around like, this is what's up.
But this is what's up. This is what we're doing. Yeah.
This is what we're doing right now. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just kind of like that's history repeats itself. That's mm-hmm. where how
that's yeah. exactly where we're at. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. So
we're here.
Yeah. So, and guys, watching it in real time. So,
right. The precipice for democratic nations that fall and become, you know, dictatorships is one thing that has nothing to do with military, nothing to do with the government. It's always something that has to do with expressionism from the people. When the people start to express themselves, whether it be as, you know, trans Americans or openly gay Americans, and everybody else starts to, you know, cheer them on, that's when nations fall. Always throughout courses of history, you always see at this point where we are right now, and then shortly after, you get a populist dictator in office who blames everything on the lowest common denominator, which is your trans people, your gay people, the Arabians, the Mexicans. Everyone needs a scapegoat. Everyone needs an enemy, right? You can't be a superhero without a supervillain. Is that correct?
Yeah, make the problem and then sell them the cure, basically.
Yes.
But mm-hmm. all the while, chip away at the actual building block to democracy, which
absolutely.
Which we're saying is we're here. Like, I mean, look at Roe versus Wade. That was not a decision about abortion, and it never has been.
No,
it was a decision about privacy.
It's about
rolling back the precedent of privacy opened up the Supreme Court to revisit every single case. And when we break down those limits, that means we now have the actual possibility of things like denaturalization.
Oh, absolutely. Because
if you have no privacy, that means the government can illegally search and seize any of your assets. They can come to your house and demand to come see in just to make sure you're not an illegal. Yep. And when they're doing that, that opens the door for a whole bunch of other things. You might not be an illegal alien, but now they're inside your house, and if they want to get you on something, they'll get you on something.
Well, hold on.
But once you start chipping away, you lose all
that right to privacy is still protected by the Constitution, though. That was specific when you
said it is not.
Search and seizure. Search and seizure is protected.
Yes. Search and seizure is, but privacy is not. So privacy is an implied right of the Constitution.
Yes.
And that is actually what they cited within the fall of Roe versus Wade. They said that the implied right to contraception that set the precedent for privacy.
Yes.
And I'll tell you this, guys.
Is no longer valid.
In Texas, just 15 years ago, there was an anti-sodomy law. You couldn't do any butt love in Texas. And
that's still a lot of places have like old laws based on that. I know in Maryland, sodomy and oral sex is all technically illegal.
And I'll be goddamned if someone takes away my right to sodomize people. I'll be goddamned. No,
but at the same time, all old laws are kind of like ridiculous. I mean, there's one, I think in Tennessee, you can't walk across state lines backwards with a duck on your head.
Yeah, you can't. It used to be like my favorite book when I was a kid.
Same
like
thing,
the weird
you can't have ice cream in your back pocket on Sundays.
The weird law.
California, you can't peel an orange in a hotel.
Yeah, there's a couple states where it's illegal to share.
There's a lot of weird laws. Book. And as you saw, they're using the laws of like the 1700s and 1800s to justify abortion. Yeah, they did that in Arizona. That's how they, and I think Iowa, one of these weird backwater.
And that's what they're using to deport people, or that's their plan when they want to deport people, is they're going back as well to the 1800s ruling that allows you to do that the same exact way that they allowed people to be thrown into Japanese internment camps during World War II.
And they did mass deport immigrants who were American immigrants. They weren't even immigrants. They were American. They just were Latino. They were just Mexican. They mass deported hundreds of thousands of American citizens back to Mexico who were American citizens in the 1920s, right after the Great Depression, just to get people off the books. They did do this. This did happen. And the way we're going right now, this is a crystal clear case of how that went down. So someone's following the playbook here. Someone is.
Yeah, they kept note of every bad law, every bad policy that's ever been made, and they're like, cool, we're running with that.
These are still
the worst of the worst, and so this sounds great, let's do it all at once.
Can't like a wait to
master
do it
playlist. But like, I mean, I wanted to go back to that privacy thing too, because I know that Gigi said, you know, with implied privacy, like obviously there's still the search and seizure within the constitutional law. But that is.
I just want to make that distinction. That's all. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's good. But what I wanted to touch on is that is going to be null and void. And that's why the whole entire deportation thing is so unconstitutional within itself. Because how do you tell somebody is an illegal alien? You have to make assumptions. You're going to have to judge the person walking down the street and ask to demand to see their papers, to see their citizenship, whether that's birth certificates, whatever it may be. Every single Mexican American, whether they're born here or not, is going to be harassed and illegally searched and seized.
And it's
already just them wanting this precedent of deportation and it not being challenged, because the SCOTUS that we have right now is unconstitutional. And if they allow that, and if they allow that to go through, there will no be more. That's what I'm saying in terms of them chipping away, starting with privacy, then moving to search and seizure. As a boat to get rid of all these protections that we have.
Yeah, so they will, because they'll state, because they're textualists.
Of privacy.
Yeah.
And they're using the fallacy of deportation to get rid of search and seizure.
Yeah.
This affects everyone, but they're making an enemy out of just certain people, but then taking away everyone's rights.
Mexicans and Arabs.
And with the militarization of the police force, I absolutely agree. With power-hungry cops, basically, you know, just demanding, I'll never forget. So, a little quick story. My friend was literally, he got into an argument with his wife. He's not abusive. He would never, like, put his hands on his wife. He literally, it was over, like, going to the dentist, and he was just, like, annoyed that she wanted him to go to the dentist, and he was just, like, who walked outside, because he was just annoyed. So, he's standing on his property, and cops pulled up and was like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm standing in my yard. And they, like, harassed him, like, how do I know you live here? And they were, like, trying to, like, get his information, and he even, like, went to the house to, like, be like, this is my wife. No, like, I absolutely live here. And then because they showed up, they had to file a domestic
battery.
Yeah, like a domestic charge against him, even though nothing happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like that.
Yeah. And it's like, really, like, that, it's just abuse of power. And, like, that's, like, you know, in conjunction with, you know, taking away, like, you know, privacy and things like that. It's just like that. Like, that's the kind of stuff that just, it's just chipped. It chips away really slowly. You're being conditioned to be like, okay, you're a cop. You're allowed to order me around. You know what I mean?
Yes. I'll tell you this. My father, my biological father, spent 30 years in prison. He just was released in 2017 on pretty much a technicality of the Constitution, where he was illegally searched and seized on a second time. The first time he gave them approval, second time he didn't. And they seized all kinds of stuff from him. He said, well, I didn't give you approval to search me again. He says, we don't need it. It's implied. And he spent 30 years in prison because of it. So, guys, if you believe that there's this savior out there, his name is Trump, and I'm saying anything bad about Trump or whatever, I'll tell you, if you break down Trump, I don't know if he's intelligent or smart, or he's just surrounded by a couple of smart, wonky dudes, but he defied the odds and did the impossible. Live the impossible dream, people, because he just did it. I mean, he did it. They had cases on this guy. Cases, like hard cases. And now that he's president, there is no more cases. There may be one or two that are state level, but the federal cases are gone.
They're trying to unwind it officially.
Yes.
Yeah. They are no longer in play. They said, quote unquote, that what they're doing is they are dropping all the cases federally. Because of the precedent, the longstanding precedent of not trying any sitting president for criminal charges. So because of the situation they're in, what they've decided is to cancel all of his upcoming court dates while they look at and explore every option that they have to see if they have a pathway forward before he's seated in office. But that takes time. It's November. That gives them literally 2 months to look at these quote unquote pathways.
Yeah.
If they took away those court dates, it's never coming back.
It's never coming back.
He'll be seated by the time they start scheduling. It takes you schedule a court date 3 months in advance? Like, yeah.
There are these state cases, and there are these cases where he's already been sentenced. Remember, he's still a convict. once a convict, always a convict. He can't pardon himself, so he's going to be that. But
they can. I was watching another legal expert on this today as well. What can happen is he's being sentenced on November 26th.
Yes.
For his, what is it? Is it the Georgia case?
Yeah.
So
well, the not Georgia, the Georgia case.
Oh, no, not the Georgia case. Sorry.
It's the Letitia James case in New York where he defrauded the public. And
yes. So he's being sentenced on November 26th for that. But what they can do is they can suspend his. So they could sentence him to jail, and that could be his sentencing. They can give him jail time. But because he is president-elect, they can suspend that for 4 years with time served, basically. And we'll just say in 4 years when you're out of office, that's when you get to serve your jail time, when bro is like 85 and probably already dead and J.D. Vance is president.
And but, if the whole diabolical scheme we talked about earlier comes to play.
The fact that they can literally look at it and just say, we're sentencing you to jail, you're definitely guilty, but we're going to give you 4 years before we do that. That's just wild. Could you imagine any other American? Could you imagine your father getting picked up and them saying, you're guilty, you're definitely going to jail for 30 years, but go have fun for five. We'll see you later. Hey,
be the president. Set up all my bosses who will fire me eventually or, you know, tell me that I can't be a federal judge anymore for whatever reason. Or just have the CIA just take a couple shots at me. I mean, hey, that's the world we live in. A lot of black ops, black pirate flag stuff goes on. But let's go back to the top exploration here. The policies and impact of the 2016 and 22 Trump presidency, immigration and the border wall. Claim, Trump vowed to curb illegal immigration and drug trafficking by building a big, beautiful wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. The fact and the analysis on this is it highlights that Trump kept his word on the border, supposedly, but as we all know, Trump didn't keep his word. He never did anything with that border wall. Mexico said they weren't going to pay for it, and they only got 452 feet of that wall built, and the wall that was built was just fixing the old wall, the old barriers.
Technically, he did have that really cool new wall where it has those slants with the big holes in the middle. Yeah, so if you're as skinny as me, you can just slip right through. Or if you're as strong as an average person, what you can do is use each one of those to just shimmy straight up. And they also put a little step at the top. So you can actually stop and rest before you go over. And then you can just slide down the poles. It's a very easy climbable fence. Very good design. Whoever made that should get an award.
Do you think that Trump was able to give us the wall he so envisioned in 2016? Do you know where this wall is that he's talking about?
All I know is that it apparently got 10 feet taller. It was one of his quotes. That wall just got 10 feet taller. No, he did not complete the wall the way he wanted to.
Yeah.
It's a daunting task, you know, mixed feelings on it. I could see the practicality of it, but I also see just it being like a huge waste of money at the same time. So
yeah, DG, you could scale that wall. I mean, you're ex-Marine. You went through the boot camp. You did the trials. You could scale that wall pretty quick.
I could scale that wall. The wall they built, I could scale, and I can't do more than like three pull-ups. So I don't know. But like, here's the thing. So I think it's vanity for that. I think there was never actually, he wants immigration to be strong and steady, but I think he was doing that as a vanity project. I think in his head, as a grandiose narcissist, he really wanted something like the Great Wall of China. He wants something to be remembered for the rest of eternity, so that when people look at this long wall that spans the entire United States, they think of him in the same way they think of the dynasties in China, but
Hoover Dam or something, some other landmark.
Yeah, Han Dynasty, Hoover Dam. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But then he also knew, obviously, that he couldn't have funding, which is why he said Mexico's going to pay for it. And there was never any plan because this guy's all talk and no plans.
Bravado.
But I don't think he even cares about the wall because it's 2024. There's so many ways to get into this country that a wall would not stop. The wall is just
for stop anybody who really wants to come here. Trust me, they go through the fence right now. I don't even call it a wall, I call it a fence, right?
It's definitely a fence.
So, with that being said, so on the wall, kibosh, blah, he never did the wall. So let's get that out of the way. Economic growth, and then the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which was Trump's signature plan that gave the wealthy more money at the top and then bled itself down to the middle class. But then at the end of it, which they're supposed to expire next year, the middle class ended up paying more. I don't know if people know that, but that's
been accurate. We're so, still under until 2025, which really sucked. I don't know how. I wish Biden would have found a way to undo that during his 4 years, because it looks so bad for taxes to go up. 22 to 23, they went up exponentially.
Yes.
People were like, how am I paying more in taxes than I have ever paid in my life in the middle class? Because it raised taxes on anybody within the bracket from, what is it, 40,000 to 100,000?
Yeah.
Anyone within that bracket had to pay more taxes than they did in any previous years. And it increased
you got a tax cut.
Each single year it went up. And so they're looking at this thinking it's Biden, but that was a Trump policy. That was a Trump policy until 2025.
This was $8 trillion. $8 trillion. We're still trying to figure out how to pay this. So here's the claim. Trump asserted that his 2017 tax cuts revitalized the economy and spurred job growth. The fact is that the tax cuts benefited the businesses, creating jobs across various sectors. So, Gagezis, you remember Reaganomics, right?
Yeah. How can you forget?
So, this was just Reaganomics on Speedfire. Gigi, do you remember Reaganomics? I don't think you were around for Reagan. I know you weren't either.
It's trickle-down economics, correct?
Yeah, trickle-down economics.
Yeah.
So, he took this model from Reagan, it did not work. And that's the reason why we're still trying to pay off debt from Reagan. And Bill Clinton did give us a surplus. So he figured out how to pay off the debt. But George Bush exploded the debt with that fucking war that was just about him saving his dad, because he was pissed off that Saddam Hussein was going to try to kill his dad. So he went looking for mass weapons that did not exist. And then 20 years later, we're in a war that's been like $10 trillion, $14 trillion, because it lasted 20 years. Anyway, we're not talking about Bush. But what do you guys feel about this? Do you think that Trump is going to, and he says he's going to do it, he's not going to let these tax cuts expire. He's going to put them back through.
Oh, yeah. He's going to do it. He's going to do it worse. We already know. He's already said that he has a new beautiful plan.
Is it beautiful?
And again, like, I think it's going to be the 2016 term all over again, but on fire. So what we're looking at in terms of him giving cuts before, why do you think Elon has been all over this campaign when he wasn't on the last one?
Regulations.
He's giving special handouts this time around. So
yeah, welfare. He wasn't because of that lovely government welfare.
That's Well, I mean, and Elon also did come out and say, if Trump doesn't win, I'll be in jail. So he did say that publicly. No one knows what that means.
So does that mean he knew anything to win?
But it means he did something somewhere, and Trump is going to give him a pass. But
Gigi, do you think that Elon, and you, I don't know, how do you feel about Elon Musk, Gigi?
See, it's Musk. I'm telling you.
He doesn't deserve to go to jail.
He has his hand in everything. He heard, you bring he up his
talking
name.
Shit. Talking shit. Now you got Tesla on your ass. Uh-oh. He's in your Ring camera.
Oh God!
He's gonna have Jarvis talk about Bezos. He's done.
Bezos. You're on mute. It was Wi-Fi, but now you're on mute.
I think there's a Tesla bot in his house right now, kicking the shit out of him.
Yeah, the Optimus, man.
They cut the power to his whole house, and they're just in there. There he is. Yeah. It might have meant that he. Like was maybe thinking of doing Jan 6 to a whole new level. I don't know. Obviously,
you think Elon Musk would do that?
I think he meant that more than him having some dirt on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't even think it necessarily is about the election. I think literally he's done some insider trading or something within the political world where he's saying like I should be in jail right now. But
I mean, all the comments on that.
Yeah, look at Martha Stewart. She bakes bread from all the money she stole.
Dude, she had such a climb back, man.
I love that. She got with the
cooler than ever after she was out.
Well, she's a Snoop
Dogg. She got bread, more money than she ever did before.
Snoop Dogg makes you cool by comparison. This nigga is 60 goddamn years old, and he's still smoking weed and hanging out like a crip.
Yes, right.
Crip walk at 60. I love it.
She came back to street cred.
Yeah, he's got street cred, goddammit. So, okay, so guys, so healthcare, the healthcare attempts is very, very slight, because you know that when Trump went into office, he hated Obama. Someone told me today in a message, well, you know, Biden got in the office and he tried to overdo everything that Trump did. I said, hello, Trump, same thing to Obama. I mean, what are you talking about? Do you not
remember? Every president does that. The first thing that they do is start issuing and overturning executive orders.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what about the healthcare, guys? So his attempts to repeal and replace the ACA, which is Obamacare, the claim is that Trump promised to replace the Affordable Care Act, better system. And we fact-checked this, Gigi, and we figured out that he failed. He tried to get it overturned 60 times in Congress, and it did not happen. So he tried to also gut it and piece it and just make it so it couldn't work properly. But, of course, when Joe Biden went in office, he fixed it back up, and now it's running great, and it's got like 25 million to 30 million subscribers now. What do you feel about Obamacare? Have you ever been a member of Obamacare? Do you know anything about it there, Gigi?
I do know about a little bit about Obamacare, mostly about like the slander that goes into it. Not saying I'm against it. That's mainly, I've only heard people talking shit about it, to be honest with you. I personally think insurance in general is a scam, but I do believe that, you know, in a world where medical prices are hiked up just because, oh, we'll just charge the insurance company, and you know, that's why we can charge so much. You need insurance because that's what everyone's big price is on. Oh, you just charge you $90 for an Advil because your insurance will cover it. Like, no, motherfucker. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. But he says that he has something better he can replace it. And he's been saying this since 2016. I've yet to see anything. Nothing. Like, there's not even a
his concept.
I already know his plan. He brought on Elon Musk. He's going to download Tesla and everybody. Nano machines to monitor your health, brush you, and then you'll see the true matrix.
Well, and you know
what sucks? Neuralink would be a great idea. Like, if it was anybody but Elon Musk, bro had some like moonshot ideas that were like Starlink could have been a really cool thing if it was anybody else, and then he met up. But like Neuralink could be so cool for humanity, but no one's gonna attempt it again because Elon Musk is gonna mess it up. Same with Elizabeth Holmes.
That was amazing.
Theranos was an amazing idea. The execution failed. They could not ever get there, but no one is going to attempt to do the technology again because she stained it. She ruined it. Yeah. No one's going to ever want to invest in something like that again.
Oh, give so me
even
a
though the idea was there, and when we have the science ready, the idea will be dead in the water because no one wants to touch it.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys, and I know everybody will say, oh, no, you didn't, but this is factually true. When I was a kid, 6 years old, I told my mom, I said, Mom, one day robots are going to figure out what's wrong with everybody, and they're going to devise cures because they're going to be more intelligent and smarter than us. And then those cures will be very, very cheap because they'll be able to do it really quick. And this is something I thought about when I was 6 years old, and here we are. So I'm not trying to beat up on Elon. I'm just saying that he needs regulation. And when he gets into the offices that Donald Trump's going to put him in, because it's quid pro quo, he's going to gut regulations in every factor and then use that degutment of regulations to make himself more wealthier than he already is. I mean, really, how much money do you fucking need to live on the planet?
I don't know. I don't understand this obsession with wealth that these people have. Like, it's some kind of sickness. It is mental illness on like 1,000% of, like, I can't understand. When you have the most money in the world, who are you trying to beat? They're already at top.
Can you beat yourself?
I don't know. And is it just literally for bragging rights? Because you can't spend all that money. So,
well, he wasn't, though. When he illegally immigrated over here from South Africa, him and his brother, they were illegally doing business in America without a passport, a citizenship, or anything. And he was with PayPal. And I always like to put the illegal immigrant part of it. It's so important for Elon to realize that he, too, is an illegal immigrant trying to do business in a country which is not his. And when he came over here with his brother and they did the PayPal situation, and that blew up, there what he didn't realize is that America offers opportunities. That's why we have a huge Statue of Liberty. And it says on that Statue of Liberty, I don't have it in front of me, but I would tell you, Google it. That's America. And that's what we're here for. And that's what the world has always seen America as. It's a place for immigrants. Bring me your tired, your weak, your downtrodden, and they can come to the lamp of light, the beacon of hope. And people who come here, they understand that it's a global residence. Does anybody go to France because aside from the Eiffel Tower, because France has something awesome that the whole world knows? If you go to France, you can have a chance to succeed. No, that's America. So why are we so scared to offer that to the world? We are a mixing pot, a boiling pot of all nations. There's
I
no
think that's shifting, earth. Though. You see a lot of expatriates right now.
Yeah.
And probably. People that are just immigrating out of the States.
I'm going
people
to Greece,
fleeting to Germany, people fleeing to Italy, because now you don't have that American dream that used to exist. People are now waking up to the fact that America is now the land of medical debt. It's now the land of not being able to own a house because they're too expensive and you're going to be stuck renting your entire life. It's now the land of not being able to have healthy children because the food is not regulated and we're being fed toxic chemicals.
And wait till
people are running away from that for a healthier, more laid back lifestyles in more slowed down countries where it's not.
I'll tell you this, Gigi, and you can chime in on this, Gigi. I'll tell you this. Do you know how much everybody in the world could fit in the state of California? Everybody.
Oh God, I don't believe that. Is that true?
I know you don't believe it, but there is enough land for everyone to fit in California. The scientists have proven it.
Put them in Wyoming. I don't want them here.
No, but I mean, what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of land in the United States of America. Okay, there is no housing crisis. It's a crisis.
Housing crisis. No, absolutely no.
When I worked in Pawn a long time ago, I learned for the very first time that diamonds are not rare.
They're not rare. No, they're sitting on an entire hoard of them. There's three families that own all the diamond production.
Yes.
They sit on top of mountains of diamonds and they slowly let out like 1,000 at a time. And then that artificially inflates the price.
Diamonds fuels, again, are not like rare. We need to move away from them. Don't get me wrong. But they're not rare either. So when all this stuff is inflated, it's gouging, it's fake. There's fucking places in Texas where you can't even see a house for miles. Even I mean, shit. New Braunfels. I mean, there's nobody fucking living in New Braunfels.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if we're talking about new constructions, that's one of the things I really disagreed with Kamala Harris on for her housing plan. She came in hard with saying that she's going to want to construct 1 million new homes within her 4 years or whatever the number was. Really, but it was
a crazy number.
It was something up there. And that doesn't work. That doesn't help because right now where we're at, I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Right.
We have something like 500,000 unhomed people in the United States, but we have 750,000 vacant homes.
Bro, it's
we have more homes that are already built than we have homeless people.
So fake. I drive.
But the fact is they're charging $2-3 million for a 3-bedroom house in California. Yeah. No one can afford it because guess who owns all the real estate? It's not being sold from family to family.
BlackRock.
It's BlackRock.
It's more real estate.
Exactly.
Than anybody else is a corporation.
Frickin'
and I drive
Zillow.
Around these streets, and I think Gigi can tell you, he drives around the streets over there in Washington. There's a ton of places you can live. There's nobody fighting for houses. Where's this shit coming from? There's like 15 houses within a quarter of a mile of my home that are fucking empty, but they're so expensive and outrageously so that no one's going to spend that money on that shit. They're just not going to do it. I wouldn't fucking. But they force you to be a renter, and then you're forced into a system where renters don't have any rights. They're just renting property from somebody else, and the landlord can just say, "Hey, next month your rent's going to be $500 more than normal." And what are you so fucking supposed to do?
Yep,
you got to pay it. Because who's gonna when you go get another house? Then what do they ask you? Oh. Do you make three times the rent? Nah, nigga. If I made three times the rent, I wouldn't be looking at this house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, why the fuck would I be renting this place instead of buying?
Yeah, why would I be here? Because
the rent is like the norm, but they get even higher now. It's so bad. They can just like set whatever rules they want to at this
point. Yeah.
At least with the mortgage, you're locked in for 35 years. Like you said, they can't raise the rent every other month if they want to. But it's there's no renter protection. And I think you guys know this too,
because you guys are smart about this. We are in a rental crisis.
Yeah.
We're not in a home buying crisis. No, there's homes everywhere. And after a while, if they sit in the market longer than 60, 70 days, they have to discount them. We're in a rental crisis. Because people are scared to buy homes because they don't know much about them, because no one teaches you anything in high school about how to own a home or how you make payments or what a PMI is or how you refinance. They don't teach you anything that you need to know. That's why everybody, this new generation, is super scared of owning a home. So when Kamala Harris came out and said, five million homes, people were like, no, that's scary. How much are these homes going to cost?
It doesn't help.
Yeah.
Are you going to give me money for the home? She did have a plan on that too. They were going to do basically what they do in California and give new renter credit. I mean, or a new homeowner credit, but it still doesn't help. You can help with a down payment as much as you want, but you're not going to be helping with that mortgage cost. So
I just don't, it's so fake and gouged and inflammatory. Gigi, what do you think about the so-called home crisis? And Donald Trump was trying to get in on this too, but he steered away from it and just said, your overtime won't be taxed anymore, so you can afford your homes.
You know what's interesting? Before Gigi jumps in, I just want to point out one thing. Trump has built his name off of being quote-unquote the real estate tycoon.
Yes!
And I haven't heard a single damn thing about him talking about the housing crisis. I haven't heard a single point. He's never once brought it up. And he's supposed to be the one who has all this real estate knowledge. So where is that at, bro?
He got it from his daddy.
I know that, but I'm saying, if he wants to keep up appearances, he should be talking some home buying something somewhere. He should be giving us a plan.
So there should be a plan. Gigi, what? God, there's so much. But you chime in with us and let me know what you think about the whole home crisis situation. That really doesn't exist. I don't see it. Do you see it?
No, it doesn't exist. It's just, again, corporations getting greedy, just like how they're like artificially causing inflation and being like, oh man, look how much eggs cost now, man. I don't know how that happened. It's the same thing. You know, they're buying up homes. Like these billionaires are like, it's a great way to make money. Let me just buy up 1,000 houses and sell them for, $1,000 more than what, it costs to.
Yeah, they control the market when you do that. You control the market. You are the market.
Yeah, so exactly. So, like, and then, as you said, people get priced out of these, like, Austin, Texas is a great example. Yeah, because the recent boom. Yeah, the economies are, like, number one in the U.S. right now because of all the boom itself. But a lot of the people who live there and, have had their livelihood there, they got priced out. Like, a lot of people had to move farther away. Yeah. And it's just, that's corporate. It's like, leave it's the corporate houses. You should not be allowed to own like more than like maybe like, I hate putting restrictions on, but like, you shouldn't be allowed to own multiple houses like that.
Well, there doesn't need to be restrictions on people. We need more regulations on corporations. There's no reason why private corporations should be owning single family homes.
They can own an office building.
If you want to go buy an office building, go for it. Yeah. But you should get your hands off of the homes.
But that's too easy to get around, because you can just basically money launder. Like, you can be like, the CEO is going to buy a house and the company's going to reimburse them, or and
they do that shit. That's part of the golden parachute.
Everything's done in.
Well, we can put a limit on it too. Then let's put a limit on 5 houses per person. I'm fine with that.
See, then when you do that, they say that you're messing with the free market system.
Capitalism is not free market.
Exactly.
I said in the last episode, I want to burn it all down anyway. Let's do it.
It's like we're trying to piecemeal. You guys ever play Connect the Dots? Connect the Dots, blah, blah. We are trying to connect the dots to 1950s and 60s thinking with our mentality today, when shit was completely different back then, and it does not resonate the same way it does today. It's not the same.
That's why we're going to get the idiots that were in office from the 50s and the 60s out.
Yeah. It's like taking it's
because of propaganda. They've been feeding us the same image of like this 1950s, basically the Make America Great Again slogan that they want to like have this little howdy doody, leave it to Beaver, perfect version of America with a pie sitting on the windowsill cooling and then the woman at home not being beamed by her alcohol.
We love it because we're American. Trump tries to sell America a utopian verse. I won't say a universe, but a utopian verse where he's a dystopian leader. That doesn't make any sense. I'm like, how does it make any sense? If you put that into anime, did you put that into anime? Because you're an anime, you know, you love
that. Put that into anime. That like the classic, like I would imagine it kind of like Code Geass, but I mean like usually when they implement something like that, there's like a point behind it, you know?
Yeah.
So like in Code Geass.
That's good.
Yeah, the guy. He overthrew the government specifically so that the world would hate him. Yeah. So that he could be the focus of hate. And then he basically
needed salvation.
Killed himself. Not killed himself, but set up his own assassination so that the world can hate him.
This is starting to sound familiar.
I thought we
did. Wait, is Trump watching anime?
Look, here's the thing, guys, and just think about it really quick. So if Donald Trump is 78 years old and he pulled like a Ruby Hayes or whatever the president was that did the same thing, where he was elected one time, lost re-election for a reason, and then got re-elected again, what is his modus operandi? Why would he want to run and become a lame duck president? What's the motivation? I know we have criminal cases outstanding. What is the motivation for a 78-year-old man? I mean, I know power, whatever.
That's exactly it. His options were he was going to be going to prison or he was going to be the president. His only ticket out of jail after having so many convictions coming at you was to be president. That was his motivation.
Do you think that sounds like a familiar tone?
I mean
what is a 78-year-old doing running with the 20 and 30 year olds?
I feel like that's a good guess. I could definitely see that being a thing. Also, I feel like his ego definitely played into it. He lost an election and he's like, well, F you, I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna win. You know, because if I am, he always talks to himself as like a winner. I'm a winner, and that's what winners do.
A narcissist can't lose.
You can see the way the 2020 loss.
See what it did to his ego.
That's a great segue. I don't even think the criminal charge, like if he, obviously that's a great motivator, but without the criminal charges, he was definitely running again. And I think it was built solely based on ego.
Yeah. So Gigi did a great segue, and we're going to go attack it real quick. The counterpunch is the fact versus fiction on key claims. 2020 election fraud. Here's the claim. Trump asserts the 2020 election was compromised. The fact and the check on this analysis is the argument that it actually wasn't. It was one of the most safest elections in American history, if not the most safest election in world history, because everybody was watching it from Istanbul to France, from Israel to South Carolina. So
Istanbul was once Constantinople.
Hey guys, so do you guys believe that the 2020 election was rigged? Or do you think that was just a claim that he made to make headwind?
I believe it was rigged. Sorry, there's a silence, so I just jumped in. I talked about that in the last episode. I believe that every election had fraud or like some hand from both sides in it. Now, also, you have to pay attention to the last literally 20 years, time a Republican has won the popular vote in 20 years. So,
I think this one is rigged. I don't think the last one was rigged.
I think this one
has something more shady going on. There's an outlier here. And
this is the first time in American history that the president, no, not the first, long time, got the popular vote and the Electoral College.
Yes. And long time. It's like, yes, I can see, I see fraud in all elections from both sides. But I don't think without the fraud, Trump would have won still. Maybe it would have been closer. Yes.
Oh, but yeah.
I think there's a difference too between like fraud and rigged. I think they kind of mean two essentially different things. Like you're going to have fraud in the 2020 cases of like, I don't know, Mr. Peter voting twice using his dead mother's social security number. Like that is a fraud. It's going to be one thing here, another thing here. Or in this specific election, you had the ballot boxes being burned. Like that is fraud. But rigging means they're doing something more. Rigging to me means they're doing system-wide, let's lose a million votes. Like rigging means something bigger in my head.
That's fair. That's true. I don't think, and you can, in my, this is just my personal opinion, you can totally rig the election. I think there's definitely fraud that goes on both accounts.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
No, and you're right. And that's true. And there's always going to be a little bit here, a little bit there. And the system is designed to catch this. And it caught a lot of weird stuff. And then, it, of course, got those ballots out because something happened to those ballots. They were compromised. But Trump also says he boasts of building the best economy in U.S. history. The fact and the check on this is that's not true. The pre-pandemic growth to Trump's policies he says is because the pandemic arrived so quickly that it deterred the economy. We know that that's not true because the economy was plodding along well before the pandemic hit because of his tax cuts.
It was at the end of his 4 years already.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you, Jagazis, do you think that he's right in this aspect? Did he have the best economy in the history of the U.S. economy? In the U.S. history?
No. It was handed to him by Obama, and we can see directly how it took a lot of groundwork and a lot of policies for Obama to dig us out of the 2008 recession.
Right.
And we see direct results from those policies, but like any historicist or any economist will tell you, it takes four to 10 years to see any result from policy. So if you're looking at what the economy looks like right now, you're going to have to go back in time 6 years and see who was going on, what was going on right now. So right now, if you have a problem with the prices of eggs, then 6 years ago, Trump was in office and you're going to have an issue with him. But when Trump is over here bragging about how great the economy was on day two of his presidency, it's not because he did shit within the first 2 days. It's because he was handed a great economy by Obama. And unemployment was declining and it kept on going the same rate. The GDP was growing and it kept on going at the same rate. There was no spike because of Trump policies. It was just on the same forward trajectory. All he had to do is not F it up. And he still found a way to F it up.
What do you think, Gigi? I mean, you were here in 2016. You didn't just drop from a coconut tree, did you?
No, I wasn't as politically motivated. I was literally just like a regular working class guy. To be completely honest, I didn't necessarily notice much of a difference when I was in the Marine Corps. Obama was in office. I was still not, ironically, wasn't as politically as I am now. So a lot of the things that you know were going on politically, I didn't notice because didn't have a direct effect on me in the military. I was still getting paid, and then when I got out, you know, I was working construction. Like I was getting paid, and that's all I really cared about.
Yeah,
I was still young, and then as I noticed certain things affecting me, it's kind of it's hard to like be like, you know, finding out like where it all stemmed from. So that's kind of like why I don't necessarily think it's a good idea to particularly be a political candidate.
I mean, and what's your political affiliation? If you don't want to, our audience knowing, because this, I mean, they want to know what we're talking about, who we are as people.
I'm a fascist. No, I'm a, libertarian. I'm a libertarian.
You liar! You fascist liar!
No, I'm a libertarian. I kind of like to walk the middle ground. I want to hear both sides because, I'm a huge fan.
Wouldn't that make you more of an independent than a libertarian?
Well.
Good question.
I mean, from what I'm more into like libertarian like views. So like I do believe in the free market. I do believe in less government power overall. Certain things like that. I do believe I know you guys like to shit on Reagan, but one of the most accurate things anyone's ever said was
Reagan, shout out Reagan.
One of the best things, most accurate things he's ever said was, you know, one of the most terrifying things is when the government says they're here to help. And like, that's a fact.
She'd been through a hurricane. Like, please help me.
But even still, I mean, it's like,
well, yeah, it's like the same way that if you're living in a black neighborhood, you're not going to call the police. Fuck that shit.
You better. We don't fuck around with shit like that. No, I'm just kidding. But no, really. Reagan, look, and everybody, look, Reagan was a great communicator. Sure, he had his foibles. He loved jelly beans. He loved Iran and selling, you know, arms to Iran for some strange reason. And then he loved turning his back on gays and the AIDS crisis. But other than that, he was a great president. Other than watching happens, a lot of people die.
Everything that we have today that is set up in a systematic way that pushes down anybody was from Reagan. And it's just Reaganomics. It's every goddamn policy
everything.
That
Reagan was
allowed for systemic racism, allowed for prisons.
Allowed for the crack epidemic to run wild.
He invented the entire outsourcing of manufacturing jobs to China.
Yeah.
Let's see. He established a credit system and having credit checks. He established
Nixon
401
opened the
days.
Door to China, and Reagan never closed it.
Yeah, we have a lot of issues. We could have kept America great again, but Reagan came in and shipped it all to China and put everything. We got out of real goods and we started trading stocks. That's what happened under Reagan.
Yeah,
he started using fiat.
We talked about this
as imaginary numbers and stopped actually manufacturing things, so we don't have nearly anything to stand on anymore, and we just have these imaginary numbers that float up on the screen, and yay, NASDAQ's up 2,000 points, but what the fuck does that mean? We don't have gold to back it up, we don't have manufacturing to back it up, we don't have fiat.
Reagan
is the reason why Trump is allowed to exist and say we're going after China. Well, China wouldn't have been number one if it weren't for Reagan. So
no, it's true. I mean, Reagan hated the Russians. And it's not that he hated them, but he felt he was in competition with the Russians.
So
he gave us an enemy. He gave us a villain. And we've always looked at that villain like, I'm going to fuck you up, Russia, when I see you. We don't even know why we hate the Russians, but we just know we fucking
hate
the Russians.
Every bad guy in any movie throughout the 80s and
all
80s 90s, they're all from that part of the world, Russian or their Czech.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, during the Cold War, we had the whole Cuban standoff. And there's no real reason to hate Cubans. They just were like, no.
But we still be beefing.
I mean, we have Fidel.
Oh,
but
we fucking hate Cubans. Obama opened the door to Cuba, and as soon as Trump got in there, he shut that fucking door hut. That's close as fuck.
Give us our cigar and stay over there.
Oh, bro, this is the thing. The reason why Cuba pissed off America is because Cuba went to Russia for help because they thought America was going to invade Cuba. So they asked Nikita Khrushchev, you know, send us some of the nukes. And he did. He was going down to fucking Cuba. He's like, hey, you want some nukes? I got extra.
From my understanding,
a lot of
the Russian motivation came from the fact that the United States was doing the same damn thing in, I believe it was Turkey.
Oh, yeah.
They had missiles everywhere. And silos and, like, military, like, forces, like, staged out there. And so Russia was like, all right, fine, we'll just hang out in Cuba, and then we're like,
hang out with Cuba, and
don't
then
do that.
When Reagan,
like, bitch,
when,
doing
not Reagan, but when Khrushchev and JFK talked about it, he's get those fucking missiles out of Turkey, and I'll take a lot of Cuba, and Cuba was pissed because when Russia left Cuba with their missiles, he felt like, wow, you guys fucked me over, and now I have to deal with America, and I have nothing to protect myself. Yeah, that was the whole situation, but. Reagan just perpetuated that, though. Reagan put that anger and that angst against Russia. We fucking hate the Russians, but the Russians, we make our...
They were fine in the 90s, but we have good reason after Putin came in, I believe.
Now,
he gave us a good reason to hate them.
Russia,
but like, in the 90s, it was pretty... They were chill.
When I was a kid, they were called the USSR. And then all of a sudden, in 94, 95, they just completely disbanded, broke up, and they were in shambles. Their rubles were like thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy bread. So they're not, and it's still that way in Russia, guys. It doesn't change. Putin just makes deals with India and China to get weapons. They don't have any money going there. We froze all their accounts. So Russia makes $1.4 trillion a year in their GDP. We're at $34 trillion in our GDP. So, I mean, like, I mean, yeah, you're like an
insect. 1 trillion of it goes to Putin. So,
yeah. I mean, it's a tangle web we weave when you do global politics. It's a lot going on. But I mean, do you agree that Gigi used to be in the military? You knew what you were fighting for. Did you know that Russia? I mean, is like pretty much significant. The only thing that keeps Russia awake in our minds is those nuclear weapons. If they didn't have that, we would own Russia.
Oh yeah, Russia. Especially you see that with like how operations were being run in Ukraine, like.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with a friend of mine who was in the military as well. He was like, you know, we've been at war for the last 20 years, adapting to like new styles of warfare and things like that. Uh-huh. The Russians are still using tactics from the 1970s, because that's like where they left off.
50s.
That's where they left off. So, that is literally the only thing. You know, we go over to Russia to try to invade or, you know, puff our chest out, and they're just like, well, F it. We'll just bomb you. And If you want to screw us over anyway, then bomb us back. You screw it. Like you're really
taking out with them. Russia is. Yeah, they don't give a. I mean, they have nothing to gain or lose.
Doesn't Putin have like dementia?
Trying to take over old territory, old Russian territory.
Isn't Putin like losing his mind now, right now, or some shit? Like, doesn't he have like mental decline?
Well,
he has something going on.
They say he either has cancer or some kind of something's going on with him. But he has a whole bunch of different fake people like. There are people that he hires that look exactly like him. They even get the surgical procedures to look exactly like Putin, and they're just decoys. So we don't really know what's going on with Putin. He can't live forever. He's almost, how old is Putin? Like 78? He's like Trump's age.
He ain't young. He looks great. He's like 78.
Shit, he was 30 years old in the 80s. Losing his fucking hair, the little fucker. Fighting bears.
So I still have time to become my own Putin. I'm still young. I can move up the ranks.
I can still do what I can do. Anywho. All right, guys. But that's it. Look, at the end of the day, the higher point on this, guys, is that Trump had a lot of policies in 2020 that did not do. The only singular policy that Trump has legislatively was those tax cuts, which are set to expire in 2025. Everything else was Trump fighting BLM, Black Lives Matter, fighting protesters when the women were protesting about their bodies. I don't know where that was a thing back in the day. And fighting everything Obama did for his whole presidency. He has no legislative wins, except for the taxes. And he had a full Congress of Republicans, and the House was Republican. The judiciary, of course, was Republican. That he had all three branches of government. He could not accomplish anything. He was so busy firing people, being on Twitter, golfing. It was a fucking waste of time. Just, I'm being honest. But guys, what do you think about it? As we conclude our episode on Trump, did it ever want to make you learn how to golf?
I hate golfing.
I hate golf. I tried. Yeah,
but
your president loved it. This is the thing.
I guess we'll have to see. He was able to kind of like relax on his first term, I guess. As you were saying, like, yeah, like
1/4 of his term was golfing. 1/4 one year.
And, you know, like things were able to like kind of like go okay. So, but like now
we're kind of like, we know we're in a pandemic, GG.
But I'm saying like before in 2016,
we literally lost like a million of us.
There wasn't much going on in the world. Now, I mean, like there was stuff going on, obviously, but like right now, like
Ukraine, he didn't have the House and the Senate at that time. He has the House and the Senate this time. I think it's going to look very different.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like House, it's going to be very different. There's a lot of different.
He had the House in 2016 and the Senate, and they still couldn't pass any
legislation. The Senate was Democratic at that point. They were blocking everything the House was trying to do.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
I think. Can someone check on that?
Yeah.
Hey, a page.
It was. Wow. This is like a historic thing.
Yeah.
The first time that it's been like all three.
I think that he had everything. I think he had
Thing. That's very Republican of them.
They did nothing.
They can't agree on it. Well, that's the thing. Like between, like you were saying earlier, to summarizing, go back to the beginning of the episode. There's no more Republican conservative party. It's now the MAGA party. Yeah, but the issue is there are still some conservatives. You still have people like Liz Cheney, even though she's now stepped down. You still have like those true conservatives who they're always going to be fighting. There's so much infighting with that group that even when they have the power of the House, they have 5-10 dissenters. You know, you have Boebert and MTG being like, we're not going to do this because you're not taking away little kids' food or whatever their thing is.
The black congressman. A big bald
Jasmine Crockett, a bleach blonde, bad built butch body. That is seared into my brain. Yeah, no, but between their infighting, even when they have the control and the power, they won't get anything done. So if we can keep that momentum, if we can keep them fighting each other into this next term, I think we'll be okay. If they just keep on swinging at each other,
not getting anything done, and they're on the same level of the whole party's not getting anything done. They didn't get anything done in 2016 except for that tax bill, which he was able to pass because he had both chambers. And the judiciary, he's going to build the fuck out of that. And you already know that Samuel Alito, who's I'm not even going to say it, and Clarence Thomas, an Uncle Ruckus. With all that being said, he has the momentum in the Supreme Court to change those two positions to like 30-year-olds or 40-year-olds who will last for a long time. A lot of years. And we did this to our
What?
I said that was to ourselves. Yeah. That's why I have it.
Oh, no, yeah. It's just.
What do you think about that? Did we do this to ourselves? At least put a libertarian in there. I don't even know what they do. What do libertarians do?
They like guns.
They like gun lovers.
We believe in like just honestly free rights. Just kind of like being able to like live your life without government interference, essentially. So yeah, I mean, did we do this to ourselves? Yeah, I believe.
Yeah,
you know, social media. But also like. Yes and no, because like, are we being manipulated by corporations? Yes. Are we being manipulated by corporations who are influencing politicians? Yes. But at the same
time, one thing to piggyback on that, G, no one can manipulate you to allow them to do it.
And that's what I was just about to say. At the same time, like,
I don't know if that's true. I think there's always someone manipulating you, even if you're not being manipulated and you think you're in control of it. There's always something that's subconsciously.
You've got to be stronger than that. But
you only know
because
because someone taught it to you, told it to you. You're always going to see the lens and perspective that somebody else has given you. So I don't think that there's any actual way to avoid manipulation in the end.
No, there is. I mean, you have to be able to reflect. Like, you can't just take everything with a grain of salt. You know, like.
Yeah.
You know you're manipulated when something bad is happening and you're like, like all of Germany during World War II, like that was manipulation,
If it's going to put the Jews in the oven for a little bit, then we're not going to cook them. That's a manipulation.
Yeah. But it's on them to like be like, that this isn't right, like at the end of the day. So.
Mm-hmm. But guys, look, at the end of the day, he's our new president-elect. And we got to just figure it out. I mean, if we're not going to band together and start suing him every time he moves, I want lawsuits coming out of everything. Oh, he washed his elbow with a non-exfoliating sponge. I want that shit to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
When his hair is looped to the left instead of the right, I want to sue him for that.
I think Thump is binging on my religious rights. I don't ever want to have to live in a country where there is a president who is a dumbass, and that is part of my religion, and I think that is an infringement on my rights, and I want the Supreme Court to hear my case, because as an American, I shouldn't have to live under the same country as somebody who's Trump.
Fucking Luli.
I shouldn't have to share the same land. It's my religion.
Look, remember how America got started. I want no one to forget. It was a party. It was a tea party. And we said, no taxation without representation. And as a gay man that's black, I don't feel like I'm being represented properly, especially by somebody who despises other minorities and disparages other people from coming here who are minorities. And the way he talks about gay rights, I don't want to pay my taxes to somebody who's like that. So I'm going to sue.
I'm just waiting for California to secede from the nation. I'll be fine if California just becomes its own nation. I think we're ready. It's time.
It's ready.
We have the fifth largest economy in the world. We have the majority of the population. We have the majority of the land.
The 13th largest economy in the world are black people, black Americans. So can we get our own spot of land?
That would be a little bit harder, but y'all are welcome in California if y'all want to move to California. Like you said in the beginning, we have the land.
But I want to be president of California because I feel like it's necessary.
Nah, my hubby, my Newsom's going to do that.
My Newsom. Okay, guys. Gigi, do you have anything to add to that particular runaway train we were on?
No, I mean,
like, no, I don't like that.
You're not going to fight me for the rights to marry Gavin Newsom? That's okay.
No, I mean, that's all yours. Yeah.
He looks like an older Fred Jones from Scooby-Doo. Come on, you can see it. You can't unsee it once you see it.
I'm struggling with that one. Stop it.
Think of Fred as 20 years older. That's Gavin Newsom. I'm just saying.
I don't know, Fred's hot too, so cool.
Either way, you do it. So Donald J. Trump's journey from real estate icon to commander-in-chief and now a 2024 contender and a presidential elect for 2024 reflects America's own complex path. Will his renewed vision redefine or polarize our nation? The higher point here, guys, is this. Trump's comeback in 2024 may carry promises of change, but it also comes with undeniable risks. Join us next time as we explore the policies and personalities shaping our world, just to take you even a little bit higher. Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast, and my co-host Gigi Luigi for Gigasus. We want to bid you a good night. Guys, you want to say good night to the audience?
Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Don't let Trump bite you. He'll bite.
Yeah. New nightmares coming in.
You might catch something on that.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain, and it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.
Unfold.